Wait a minute. Wait for the next one. Hold on. Let me pre-roll this, and then you can go.
Oh.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Yeah. Okay. You definitely got to put that into the show.
There's the pre-roll. Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Barry sends his Toro a Dear John letter, Google has a big week, and Microsoft seems to be dumping RT Surface tablets. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
And for your night,
here's Jash, Barry J, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 102 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where it's about to go kaboom. Maybe. Scattered thunder showers are in the forecast. I'm Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
And from the Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
Oh, God.
Jash just had too many beans today.
Forever teen, I swear to God.
Couldn't resist.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't care what kind of guy you are. If you hear a fart, you're going to
laugh. It just happens.
Michael's going to be a little late tonight. He's had a busy day, and he promises he'll be here as soon as he can get out to the man cave. And so we'll wait for him. Meanwhile, topics are light this week. Not a lot was going on in the tech news. Well, except for Google, who surprised a few things. But before we get into the tech news, because I'm stalling for Michael to get here. Because, you know, Michael will be able to fill us in on all the Apple things. Wait, no, he's got that non-disclosure thing.
Yeah, he can only fill us on things that he's been allowed to repeat.
Apple is great. Okay, that's the news. Moving on.
Okay. So, I'll start off with the story because we've been following it for a while. Well, my poor mower that went into the shop. I don't know whether last Sunday night we talked about what it was going to cost to repair it. But my mower, it has a bad hydrostat. And
you talked about that in show 100.
Yes, we did. But I got the estimate to replace it. And I know I kind of figured out, but yeah, it was going to cost me $2,100 to replace one hydrostat. And it's got two. So the other one's okay. So we kind of said, well, okay, let's do it. And then after we told them, let's do it, both my wife and I said, really? Do we think we need to do this on a 10-year-old mower?
Right.
And I said, well, we already told them. So, but then 2 days later, and again, reminding you that they've had this mower now for 4 weeks. This was the fifth week. And
all right.
2 days later, after we said go ahead, they called and said, could you call the guy or this place that orders the part, and can you order the part and have them send it to us? And I'm like, my wife took this call, and she says, well, your business, can't you deal with them. They said, well, they need the money up front, and my credit card only goes to $1,000. So we'll need you to order it and send it to us. Well, there was my opportunity. Because I don't think they really wanted to try to fix it anyway. So my wife and I talked it over, and we decided, yeah, we're not going to spend $2,100 on a 10-year-old lawnmower. Because it's got two hydrostats, and if the one went, what are the chances the other one's going to go here in the near future?
Good point.
Plus, I found all the manuals online, so I said if I get the mower back, it could be another adventure for a certain person that lives in Nashua if he came up here and we took a look at it and pulled it apart ourselves and maybe got the parts, the internal parts, which might be a lot cheaper than $2,100 for a brand new hydrostat. So,
well, that's a Toro zero turn, right?
Yeah. So needless to say, we made this decision that we weren't going to get it repaired, and we decided we're going to dip into the emergency funds. And well, on the way home on Thursday, I stopped at the John Deere dealer, and we checked out what was going on because they were having rebates and everything because it's the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And so on Saturday, we went back and we ordered a John Deere tractor.
Really?
Yeah. And well, we decided they have the one that's called the, I call it the family truckster. It's actually the one family. Now, that's not the one I got, because that's the one where you can really add a major, well, you can turn it into a backhoe is what you can do.
Right, okay? You can add a backhoe attachment.
Backhoe and the front.
That's pretty cool.
And the front scoop. Well, I didn't get that one because the tractor and the deck alone, $16,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, I said, and I said, well, you know, if I were a rich man.
Yeah,
and I was
the tune of Fiddler in the Roof,
and I wanted to go slightly overboard for my property. That would be the one I'd get, but I'm not a rich man, and but we knew we had to get something bigger than what we had with the Toro, and we couldn't go as, you know, their typical riding, even the John Deere riding mower. So we went with the X500 series. And I went with the X540, which...
X540.
Yes. And that one has a 23.5 horsepower, two-cylinder, yeah, two-cylinder Kawasaki engine. No. No, you don't get up to the diesels until you hit the 700 series and the family are the one family. You can get those in diesel. So this is gas. I was looking for the diesel, but yeah. Again, they start at about $12,000 and go up from there for the diesel ones. But this one's a two-stroke, and it's liquid cool. It's got some... a few bells and whistles. We can still get lots of attachments for it, which is Anne-Marie was more excited about this than I was, because she, you know, she wants to get all sorts of things for it. So you can still get a dump or a bucket for the
front bucket loader. Right?
Yeah, but it's not you know, the like the major one. It can only handle about 150 pounds, but for what we do around here, that's fine, because we're not going to be digging foundations or anything. So that's fine, but it takes all sorts of attachments for the back and everything. And we also ordered the snowblower attachment for it. So,
oh, smart.
Yeah. 44 inch one?
I think it's 47. I think it's a 47 inch one.
Ooh, nice.
I think. Don't quote me on that. I'd have to go down and look, because and the weight kit that comes with it. Which are just,
yeah, you need that,
the hanging weights that go on the back. So, so we got that, and as I said, as I told Anne-Marie, you know, we could have gone with like the 530 or the 500, but I went with the 540, and she said, well, "Why are you going with that one?" I said, Well, I call it the lady features on it because I said, yeah, I can climb up on the thing. It's a little big for you. You notice the 540 has handles on the side, so you can help it. And it's got power steering for you. And so I said, I'm just trying because, you know, chances are she's going to be driving this thing more. Well, as I told the salesman, I said, I want her to be so excited about this and love driving it around that I probably won't have to ever cut grass again. That was my theory behind it. So,
I didn't have any theories when I picked up my John Deere.
Yeah.
But my wife, who's scared of snakes, won't mow because she's afraid of seeing one. And I keep telling her, do what I do, run them over. Well, we've got the 48-inch deck that has three blades in it.
Yeah.
You know, you run over a snake with that, the snake is dead.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
She says she can't even deal with just seeing it. Yeah. So, you know, that, I can understand that.
Yeah.
You know? But one thing that she likes, we have the 44-inch snow blower in the front of ours. She loves snow blowing snow.
Really?
In the wintertime, I never have to snow blow the driveway before going to work because she beats me to it because she just loves doing that.
Wow, that's neat.
She just loves playing with the tractor. I mean, you know, you can maneuver it around. She likes the power that it has. And you know, we've got the weights that you hang on the back and all that. You have to have those.
Yeah.
Trust me. Because we forgot to put them on one time, and I couldn't do crap with it.
Right.
And did you get the chains that go in on the tire?
I didn't get the chains. The guy told me, wait. And he goes, he can always get you the, but this has a more aggressive back tire on it. And he says, to tell you the truth, the chain set that, that comes with it, all it does is fill in the spots behind, you know, in between.
That's not the chainset we have. It rides on the outside of the treads.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it really makes a difference. We can't move around at all.
Well, he said they keep them in stock. He says, he goes, what I would recommend, and I thought the guy was good about this because, you know, he could have sold it to me. He goes, try it the first time, and if you have problems, come on down and we'll sell you a set of chains for it. Mm-hmm. But he says, if you don't need it, then he goes, I recommend not getting it. Because he says, you'll have to get the bigger chains. There's the regular chains will just fill in the holes, he says, between the tread.
Right. You don't get the bigger chains. Honestly, God, it aerates the lawn while you're cutting it, which actually gives you a healthier lawn.
But to ride with the chains on it?
Yep.
I've never mowed the lawn with the chains on.
Yeah. Yeah.
My chains, like I said, ride on the outside of the treads.
Right. Yeah. When I was a kid, we had several. I mean several, as in a lot of tractors. And one of the things we ended up doing is, my parents, a similar set of circumstances. We had like 10 acres plus a horse corral out back. And the front of our property was all quite a steep hill.
Yeah.
And to actually get any real traction was we ended up putting dual wheels and running chains year round. And, boy, the grass, because it aerated, it allowed, when it rained, the water got down a little bit deeper to the root system.
Uh-oh.
But, what?
You're cyloning, well, you're staticking out again.
I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, you're going to have to unplug and plug back in.
Okay, so much for that story.
You can keep talking. Just unplug and plug back in. And there's Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
Hey, check. We're talking tractors.
We're talking what? Oh,
we're talking tractors.
How's my audio? I'm connecting things as we speak here.
You sound good.
Okay.
Josh is having a problem. Every once in a while, he goes static on us.
Yeah, weird. Don't know why.
Like that?
That didn't sound good.
That was me. that was me playing with wires and things and the likes. Oh, my.
Yeah. Actually, when you pull the plug, you go to the built-in speaker or there's a microphone.
The camera. There's a microphone on my camera.
Oh, okay. It goes to that automatically. So we can still hear you.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I was saying, we used to run chains on the tractors year-round, cutting grass or pushing or blowing snow. And I'll be honest with you, it was nice. You always got better traction running the chains.
Hmm. Well, I'll have to see. I'm afraid that might rip up the lawn too much. At least my delicate front yard, I don't think, could take chains.
Well, as long as you don't sit in one spot and spin them, you're good to go. You actually won't get stuck. That's the whole point. It won't rip up the lawn at all because you're always going to be moving forward.
Yeah.
That's a tractor. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Well, yeah, the X540 with a 54-inch deck.
Yeah, it's got the 54-inch deck.
Yeah.
Cool. Means I'll get done cutting the grass sooner.
Yeah, a lot less passes. A heck of a lot less passes.
Yeah, because I think the Toro had a 42-inch deck. So
that's a big difference.
Yeah. I'm hoping so. So it should be delivered sometime this week.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to call me because they didn't have any in stock there, but another dealership had them in stock, and they often swap and trade with those guys. So
mine had to be special ordered too because I didn't want to get it with the mowing deck because it was we were buying it in September time frame, September, October, somewhere in there, and what we wanted was the the tractor with the snow blowing attachment on the front,
right?
You know, and the store we were talking to was not far away. It was down in Sandy Creek, so they knew exactly what we were talking about, and they hit things and got us exactly what we wanted. And then next spring, we went back there and picked up ordered a mowing deck for it.
Yeah, apparently they keep them in stock at different sizes so they can just throw on the one you want. You know?
Yeah. Well, they don't like selling the tractor without the mowing deck.
No, they pretty much come priced with the mowing deck. And if you don't want the mowing deck, then they have to take the money off for it. Yeah. But,
well, that's how I ended up with one that had a California-approved twin Hemi engine.
Oh.
You'll probably get a similar Kawasaki to mine.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
buy American, get Japanese parts.
Yeah, well, I haven't heard any bad reviews of the Kawasaki engines. So.
No, I mean, I've got one in my Kawasaki motorcycle that's been kicking ass since 2001, so what can I say?
Wonder if the tractor will sound like a rice burner.
I don't know. I'm reading reviews about this thing right now. The snow blower, they say you're going to want to upgrade to the 8-gauge strong bolt shear pins.
Yeah, I read that one, too. The dealer told me, don't do that. I said, well, we'll go through and see, because he says they're rated for what the gearbox can handle.
And you'd rather snap a gear pin than break something in the blade assembly.
And honestly, I only read that in one review, and so that makes me go,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, exactly. It's an isolated incident.
Yeah, there was one review. I'm reading this review, right? And the guy has pictures, and it was a very good review. But I'm looking at his property, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in like your typical suburban neighborhood.
Right, what does he need that for?
He owns a half acre of land.
Talk about overkill.
He bought the frickin' X540 for a half acre. His front yard, I swear to God, a swipe and a half, and he was done cutting the front yard. And I think the backyard, and he had a patio out back, too. And so his yard wasn't that big, but there was common area on the in the back. And I have a feeling he cuts the common area just for something to do. Yeah. Yeah, I just couldn't. I said, boy, if I had your yard, I'd be getting a push mower, you know? So, but he had a good review of the mower. So, so to catch you up, Michael, we went out and ordered a new tractor and the snowblower.
I've kind of figured that out by now.
for the front of it. So. And so I have the old Toro back here, and like I said, might try to pull the thing out myself. But, 10-year-old mower and $2,100 just to replace the hydrostat, one hydrostat on it. And as my wife goes, well, what happens if next year the other hydrostat goes out? I said, well, then we'd be repairing it for more than we paid for the actual lawnmower.
Well, you can still drive it around, right? You just can't do any mowing or anything, right?
I can drive it around if I like driving in circles.
Oh, okay. That's what that does, huh?
Yeah, because the left side doesn't keep up with the right side. So there's some grinding sound. But like I said, nobody...
So you can't even enter lawnmower race. Well, I don't know. You might be able to enter lawnmower races. You know, if it's going in a direction that you're turning.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It goes left.
It goes left. Turn left, go fast.
Yeah, it might work out. So anyway.
Too much left, though.
No. Yeah. So like I said, these guys were just going to replace the hydrostat. They couldn't find anybody that wanted to take the hydrostat apart because, and I've got all the manuals for it are online, and I've got pictures with, you know, the explosive view of it, you know?
Exploded view.
Explosive view.
Bam! No. You look at it, and it blows up.
Exploded view of all the parts and everything in it, and I think you can order all the parts in and out of it. So
rebuild it.
That's what I'm thinking, but it's a pretty much a two-man job to get the thing off the tractor and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll maybe make it a project and... Then I'll keep it as a backup lawnmower because I never want to push mow this.
Yeah, man, you got to shed all the weight out of it.
Again.
Get it to steer and enter lawnmower races. If you can't find any over there, I can direct you to a whole bunch out here. It's a big thing out here.
Paint a big number on the side of it.
Big number three.
They don't usually have numbers on the side. The drivers usually wear them on their backs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, how many have the zero turn races? Do they have zero turn races?
No. All you see are just the regular tractors just hauling an ass around an oval.
Aren't those guys the ones that soup up their engines and everything?
No. Oh. Well, there are some that do that, but out here, you're only allowed stock lawnmowers, and the most that you can do is take most of the weight off of it. So you see a lot of really bare-bones, stripped-down lawn tractors going around.
Oh man, that's too much.
Yeah.
Well. So yeah, so that's the exciting news. I'm not that excited about it. Amory's jumping up and down about it.
That's what he's saying, you know. Yeah, right. I'm sure if we talk to Anne Marie, it's probably the other way around.
And the funny thing is we're gonna hear about it again after about the first good snowstorm when he uses his 47-inch snow blower. On the front of the thing and clears the driveway in two passes or three passes.
Well, I'm hoping that it's so much fun that I may not have to go out in the snow. And
well, supposedly it throws a 35 feet.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying.
Yeah, mine does.
I'm saying, I'm hoping it'll be like what Barty discovered. Somebody else will want to go out in the snow blow.
My wife drives hours out of the garage. And right, we have a very short driveway, and pretty much a two-lane road, though maybe it's more like one in 0.9 lane road.
Yeah.
You have to be really careful passing each other on the road. I mean, we have so few cars that the situation rarely comes up. But anyway, she drives out of the garage, and right from the get-go, she can throw snow. That the tractor does completely across the road.
Wow.
Yeah. So, that's, you know, good. As that's we go nice across powerful. Our driveway, it's not only throwing it across the road, it's throwing it across over the snowbank or into the snowbank, depending upon how late in the winter we are.
Yeah.
You know, and just go right out in the road. And, you know, that's it. You know, we just throw everything straight across the road.
That's fantastic. You throw it in the neighbor's driveway.
Well, actually, the neighbor's driveway is so far away that we would have to haul the snow to them. our neighbor's driveway is like about a quarter of a mile away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, and the other thing with this, of course, with all of them, the size and up, you can get the enclosure if you so to choose to.
Hey, we don't bother with that. We ain't no wimps.
I am. I didn't buy one yet, but Amory says, I would make an excellent Christmas present. I said, yeah, it probably would.
Yes, it would.
Uh-oh. You static.
Oh, son of a bitch. Really?
Yeah. I think you got...
I said that to piss you off.
You know, that's the same thing that happens on...
Leo's show.
Yeah, This Week in Tech. But there's his...
After an hour.
Yeah, after an hour. But yours is doing it a lot sooner.
Which mic is this?
It's the headset boom one. What the hell is it? A realistic... think it's a realistic. It's the one I've been using for the last couple months. Yeah. No issue. The one that you sent me the iMic and patched into the iMic, Michael.
Right.
All right. I don't know what the hell's going on. Let me try and plug it straight into the back Mac Mini rather than the USB.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So if anybody's interested in finding out about Barry's tractor, you can Google it. And on John Deere's site, just X540, you'll find out all kinds of things about what an amazing tractor that John Deere makes for your lawn care. Speaking of Google,
nice fill.
There's a new Nexus 7 coming out.
Yes. And you know what?
What's the deal on that?
It is pretty snappy from what I can tell. And they're saying Apple better watch themselves because Apple keeps saying, yeah, we probably won't go to the Retina display because we won't get the battery life.
Oh, with the Mini. Yeah,
with the Mini. So we're probably going to hold that off till next year. And then Google comes out with the Nexus 7 with an even better display than Retina. And it's got the battery life to go with it. They're claiming 9 hours of watching video.
That would be pretty cool.
And it's got a, I think it's got a quad core. I'm trying to see it here. I'm trying to read the thing real quick.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, yes, we can.
Just try to ignore me, that's all.
Okay. but it's supposed to be fast, and it comes with the latest version of Jelly Bean 4.3. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty impressed with the statistics and everything on this puppy. And you've got to wonder whether, of course, all the stuff about the iPad Mini not coming out with a Retina display is rumors. So I guess we won't find out until the fall time frame. But I don't know. This one's a pretty impressive for a Nexus 7. Oh, and it's $100 less than the cheapest iPad Mini.
Yeah. Well, so this is an iPad Mini size device then, huh?
Yes, it's a Nexus 7. It's a 7-inch device.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the Nexus means. Nexus 4 is a 4-inch device. 7. They make a Nexus 10?
Is that going to be getting these same advances? Sorry, Josh.
I have no idea.
Oh, was that Michael?
That was Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
I don't think so. Yeah, not a problem.
Okay. I'm not up on all the Nexus stuff. I know about the Nexus 7, and I know there was a Nexus 4, which is kind of like a phone, I guess. Or it was
right.
The phone.
And then, the 4 is a phone.
Yeah.
And then there's the Hero 7 that some friends in town have bought 3 of those.
Oh. Hmm.
I think it's the Hero. Yeah, it starts with an S, but it's also Hero.
The one you can get at Walmart.
Yeah, for $150.
Yeah,
well, and that one's got a ton of features on it too. I don't know how well made they are, but.
That's a dirt cheap one. Well, this just came out this week, so this probably eclipsed that. So we'll have to wait to see whether they upgrade.
I kind of like the extended battery life you were talking about, but I really don't want a smaller device. I would like to get one around the size of the full-size iPad. If I can get a Nexus 10 would be okay if it would have those kind of capabilities. On my recent trip out to California, I was watching movies while flying during some of the flights. I was enjoying the Blues Brothers Uncut. I just love anything that that whole troop of people do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was watching that, but boy, it sure did drain my battery quite a lot. And then I was also watching some Adobe. I forget what the whole podcast thing is, but Adobe has a video podcast that talks about a lot of all of their products, features, and how you can do things with them. I was watching a number of those, and that also killed the battery really, really fast. You know, so anything that would give me better battery life watching videos would be really great, especially when I'm traveling. I'd be interested in that. But, you know, the thing that gets me about that is how do I transfer iTunes data from iTunes to Nexus? You know, because like with the iPad, it's a simple thing. You plug it in and say, I want this, this, and this, and it just sends it over and it sends it over automatically from then on. With an Android device, it's probably going to have to be some kind of thing where I exported out of iTunes to some directory somewhere and then imported into the Nexus.
Yeah, it would have to probably be something like that because there is not iTunes capability for...
That's the whole thing about getting wrapped up in one company's environment. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things I really hated about back when I used to be a really big Windows fanboy. Mm-hmm. Is that once you get sucked into Windows, it was kind of hard to get Windows content into anything else but a Windows product.
Yeah, that's pretty true with all the different things
back then. You know.
Yeah, this one is the display is 1920 by 1200. On the new Nexus 7, so that's pretty impressive. I wonder what it looks like though compared to a Retina display, because sometimes these guys come up with these, you know, very with the you know sharp displays, but then you compare them to like a Retina display, and the Retina display for some reason looks so much better. So
well, I think that depends upon the content.
Yeah,
you know, if you have content that is built and designed to look good on Retina, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily going to look good in other places. You're going to have to get something that's built and designed to look good on the Android's graphics capabilities.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whole point that I'm getting at is, you know, with the window with the Apple ecosystem, everything's all designed to play well together. You know, I can take the same video that I watch on my iPad, watch it on a smaller screen that Apple puts out, and it's going to look as good, just tinier.
Yeah.
You know, with my old ass eyes, it's just not going to be doable for me. You know, that's why I want a big screen. I want a large screen, right. You know, that's going to look okay.
Well, you know, if you listen to Leo Laporte, and I've heard several people say this, even when the iPad Mini came out, that they all. And again, I'm with you, Barty. Actually, I wouldn't mind having a 7, but I don't want to pay top dollar for it because I don't know what I'd use more. But they say everybody else is saying that 7 inches is the perfect size. And but I don't have any problems carrying around a 10-inch iPad.
Yeah,
and,
you know, and it's like when it comes to cell phones. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind carrying around a larger cell phone because I've seen some of the larger Samsung phones,
mm-hmm.
Like what is it, the Galaxy Note? That's a larger size. I wouldn't mind that as a phone, you know, because the things that I do on a phone aren't going to be the same things that I'm going to be doing on an iPad. You know, mm-hmm. on an iPad, I'm going to want a bigger screen, but for like reading email and you know looking at whatever pictures people send me and things like that, I think something like a Galaxy Note. Would be, or something around that size as a phone, would be better than looking at the tiny screen that like an iPhone 4S or 5 has.
So that your preference would be to get something the size of a Galaxy Note and then the 10-inch iPad.
Yeah,
and skip
Note
the 7 altogether.
as a cell phone,
yeah.
But for serious video viewing, I want something as big as an iPad.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. Yeah.
And for running apps, I mean apps... apps on any kind of a small screen just kind of suck totally because you can't see anything, and when you expand it, then you don't see enough of it. You know,
yeah.
You do the two finger separate thing, and yeah, you can see that one cell good, but then again, you want that one cell in relation to all the other cells. You know, so
yeah,
you really need a larger screen.
And it depends on what you like reading too, and I think it all comes really sometimes people's preference. I think comes down to that because like. I used to get a lot of magazines, tech magazines and stuff. And of course, now I get fewer of them, but I do most of my tech reading on the iPad. I grab the iPad, the 10-inch iPad. And if you look at it, it's about the same size as what the magazines used to be.
Yeah, without the margins,
right.
Exactly.
So now, but if you're an avid reader and you like you're used to reading paperbacks and things like that, then I could see where you'd probably prefer the 7-inch model. Because yeah, that's probably
be
about the size of a paperback, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I agree with you.
So, yeah, to each their own. And the nice thing is, all these things are available, and you can pick and choose.
Yeah, but they don't interplay well together.
I
would love to have a 7-inch phone, even if it was from Samsung, but then it wouldn't coexist with my Apple data. You know, it wouldn't suck down the books that I have in iBooks or anything, you know? And, you know, that's kind of a drag.
That's true, but I think the times they are changing. And another thing that was announced this week was Chromecast. And this was a little device that Google has come out with. And it kind of looks like a USB dongle, except it's got HDMI on the end of it. And you plug it into the back of your television set. And then pretty much any operating system except Windows and, sorry, Josh, BlackBerry.
well, there's a shocker.
I mean, it's not like a lot of people use BlackBerry anymore unless they're forced to.
Yep.
Can access this thing. And it's unlike AirPlay, where if you use AirPlay, you're actually streaming from the device, the smaller device, to your television. What Chromecast does is you've got a button on there that's a Chromecast on your device, and you press that, and then Chromecast, it just instructs Chromecast to go get that video off the internet by itself. So then it, you know, the connection is between the internet and the Chromecast. So there's you're not transmitting from your device and tying up your device with that. It then becomes just like a remote control for this thing. And so right now they've got only a couple apps. Of course, they've got Netflix right away, and then they got anything that's sold in Google Play. I'm trying to remember what, but the thing that's a kicker is if you've got the Chrome browser on any of these devices or your laptop or whatever, you can pop up a video player on there, which, you know, almost everybody that presents video, you can watch it on inside the browser. Well, you can hit the Chromecast button on there, and it automatically redirects it to the television. And it's a pretty cool idea, and it goes across OSs, which is...
How different is this than having like a Roku box or an Apple TV?
Well,
because they both stream the same kind of things. It's just not, it's not plugged.
Okay,
in. I guess it is plugged into an HDMI port, because my Roku goes from, I have an HDMI cable connecting it to my TV.
You know what?
Same thing with the Apple.
You know
TV.
What the big difference is? This thing's $35.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's $35. It's different in that. Right now, they currently don't have a lot of apps, but they've opened up their SDK on the thing, and people are jumping like crazy. I mean, the developers are jumping like crazy to add the Chromecast button to all their stuff. And I guess what it was is the apps won't actually run on the Chromecast. They'll actually run on the various websites. I could be wrong about this. This is new, but when you hit the button, it will automatically just send the video data to your big screen, and it's not like you're going to see a browser on your display. You're actually just going to see video, high def.
That has the exact same disability that the Roku has and that the Apple TV has for people like me that are in, and probably like you, Barry, that live in broadband challenged areas.
Well,
we both have broadband connectivity, but my broadband is not good enough to stream anything in any kind of high quality. I get less than standard def, so I don't really bother watching streaming stuff because it just doesn't look that good.
But Barty, we're talking the internet here, and there's not going to be anything for you out there as long as you don't have a good bandwidth.
Exactly. Well, that's my point exactly.
That you're stuck with satellite. And
oh, no, I don't have satellite. I have DSL. But my DSL is not good enough to receive
high def. To watch movies, you're stuck with satellite. That's all you've got.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because you're too far away. Now, luckily, my DSL isn't that bad, and I can watch everything. I can watch high-def streaming. I've never had an issue with it, and I'm not that far away. I'm not as far away as you are.
I am right at the three-mile limit
that
DSL has from the nearest switch.
Right.
So because of that, I can't stream high def. So all this kind of stuff is kind of like immaterial to me.
Right.
You know, and there's something enough, I have to put up with standard def at best.
Until they give you better bandwidth or somebody comes in with like what Michael's got, some kind of a grid system, you know, wireless grid system that's affordable.
Out here in the town of 500, with all the surrounding towns being between 500 and 1,000, I don't expect to see it unless I move someplace else.
Yeah, Barty, you might as well just get BlackBerries and save yourself some money.
BlackBerries. Oh, no, no, no. I actually have very decent bandwidth on my iPhone because I have a Verizon device that plugs into my broadband network and gives me excellent telephone coverage.
Well, for the rest of us who don't live out in Timbuktu, the Chromecast thing could be a game changer, and it's, you know, because of the price. And well, there was a story about this. When it first came out, they were giving 3 months free Netflix to not only new people to Netflix, but also people that already had Netflix accounts. So if you added that in, the cost of this thing was about $11 if
That's
you
awesome.
Subtracted. However, apparently Google was not prepared for the onslaught of this Chromecast thing being sold out, but it sold out in like a day. And so did the Netflix option.
Wow.
So that has been pulled already. So now, but still, I mean, when you're talking $35, and, you know, as people said, that's kind of cheap enough that if you had two or three TVs, you could put one on every television. But then again, it looked good. It sounded good. Nobody has one yet that I'm aware of, or maybe they're just starting to get them. So I'm waiting to see what the people actually say about this thing. And Google says that they're going to support this thing. So we'll see how many people write apps for it and make everything available to it, because that would be this sounds interesting. This could be a game changer. The other thing that Google said was in the coming future, with all the televisions that are going to be out there, this is going to be built into the TV. And
that could be pretty cool.
The only reason they're making this thumb drive thing, or, you know, this little key thing, is to make older televisions compatible. So,
interesting.
Yes.
Well, I think it's a really great idea, and I hope it really prospers and kicks a lot of cable companies and satellite companies in the ass.
You can guarantee those guys are shaking in their boots, because
yeah, they might forget all about Aereo.
Well, you can. The neat thing about this thing is you can watch Aereo on this thing, because you can watch Aereo in a browser. Ergo, you can tell it to go to the Chromecast, and it will. You can watch Aereo on the Chromecast, and anything you can watch in a browser, you can watch on Chromecast.
So, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
At least they won't be taking any kind of a financial hit on it. No. Microsoft took a $900 million hit on the RT tablet.
Is that because they dropped their prices?
No, they dropped the prices after they took the hit.
Really?
Yeah, stockholders are getting hit with like just under about the I think like 7 cents a share, which comes down to earnings per share is like 66 cents. And it was like a major hit. But right after they took the hit, they came out with a brand new ad comparing it to the iPad. Blaming the iPad for not having the same kind of capabilities that the RT has.
Yeah, I've seen
that. You would think that they would realize that nobody wants the RT. I mean, come on. Why would you want half an OS, excuse me, when you can spend a little bit more, well, I guess about twice as much more, and get the full featured Surface that is a fully functional Windows PC.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, out of the two, I would want to spend the extra money on the regular Surface. I wouldn't want the RT.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that, because, why would you get... It's basically, a stripped-down version. So
exactly.
Why would you,
you know,
want that?
When NT came out, I used to joke about it being like new trash. And when the RT came out, to me, it's I guess nowadays you could probably call it like real trash. Because the RT, it's, you know, it's kind of a nifty system, but it doesn't have all the real capabilities that, the full-blown Surface has. And why would you want anything less than that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I just couldn't see even spending money on that. And it's not that cheap either. Granted, they just dropped the price. Yeah, yeah, but still kind of expensive even for... When you consider what it does, it's... You know, it's not that cheap. I mean, if I was going to spend that much money, I'd go get a Nexus 7 or you know, an iPad or something.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. It was kind of surprising me that it kind of took this long. And, you know, I think it's really kind of odd that they're pushing ahead a advertising campaign. The only thing I'm thinking of is, like, they're going to quit making this stuff, and they just want to dump the rest of the units they have left in stock.
Yeah.
And that's what this, you know, lowered price campaign is all about. It's like, you know, let's get rid of this thing.
Yeah, I love how they're comparing it to the iPad, and it's like, come on, guys. And a couple of things they say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I can show you how to do it on an iPad. Yeah, especially with, like, you know, the with the flash card or whatever that you can put in it. Okay, well, they make an attachment for the iPad that you can read and write to flashcards.
Yeah, I've got one for mine. Yeah. I bought it for my first gen iPad.
Yeah. So
back when I bought that, and it still works for my third gen.
Right. I mean, it's called the camera kit because it was made so that you could download, you know, pictures off of a flashcard or you could connect the camera directly to it.
Yeah. To download, mine has so. One where you can connect USB things to it, and the other plug lets you connect. I forget what now, but there's two plugins that come in, and you plug into the bottom of your iPad, and you can plug in two different types of stuff.
Yeah. So wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that's the show tonight, because that was all the topics we had. Unless, Michael, how was your week? You usually have some stories from the Youperville.
Youperville. You know, make it sound like he's living in like Petticoat Junction or something.
Well,
like
he lives
that.
In the middle of Lake Superior. What do you want? You know,
pretty much. Yeah, he's got that little appendage. You know, that whatever you want to call it.
I've been told it's a finger.
Yeah, well, Michael's also called it other things in the past. So I won't repeat.
I have not.
Yes, you have.
No, I have.
I think
not.
That was me.
That was Barry.
Was it really?
Anyhow. Yeah. No, it wasn't me. Anyhow, well, let's see here. The moms are up to visit this week.
Oh, cool.
As soon as we got back from our trip the week before.
Yeah.
So, probably, and I don't know why the timing on this was so bad this week, but hopefully somebody's going to get that. Yeah, okay. I think I've mentioned before that Apple Maps shows my driveway as the entrance to the state park.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
man,
that well,
sucks.
More
this
visitors.
Week, we are up to 12 cars an hour at least going through my driveway and then turning around and heading out. At one point, there were four cars deep in front of my garage trying to get back on the US 41 to the point where I finally went and back, dragged out my boat trailer, and dragged it across the one main driveway. I have a circular drive, but nobody sees the first entrance.
Right, right.
So I had it blocked off.
Uh-oh. Michael, are you there? Michael?
Michael, can you hear me?
Hello?
There you go.
Hey.
There
he is.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the internet's been dropping tonight, too. Anyhow, so, and it... In addition to the driveway incident, I've been getting flood of bicycle on my property coming from the state park on the other end of the property, right next to my house.
Right.
And, you know, it's been getting the occasional one in the past, but it's gotten to be a steady flow. And not only is it a steady flow of bicyclists, but they're arguing with me that they have a right to be there. I'm like, well, no, this is my yard. How about I go out and hang out in front of your living room window in your yard? How would you like that? No, this is the bike trail. I'm like, no, it's not. No, my map shows it. It's the bike trail. I said, which sign back there didn't you see? The park boundary, don't cross. Private property beyond, and no trespassing. No, this is a brand new map, so we figured those signs didn't matter anymore.
Really?
So yes. I went down to the local outdoor outfitters where they have the local trails club map.
Yeah.
And it shows all of the mountain bike trails, but it also shows a trail going to the state park following the lake, but then they ran out of maps, so they just have this green line going off the right side of the map following the lake. They don't show where the trail turns, which is before my property. So I had I'm starting to feel like John C. Dvorak. Get off my lawn! That's normally am, you know?
Yeah.
But I had to go talk to the park ranger, and it's not really his fault.
No.
But there were so many people going down the path to my house that the actual bike trail has no wear on it, and people couldn't even see it.
Right. You've become the bike trail by default now.
So the rangers came out this week, and they put up a big split rail log diverting towards the bike trail that still isn't worn in yet. And then they put up a nice 4x4 post with a sign on it that says, trail this way.
Good.
And they set this up probably a good 50 feet from my property line.
Good.
And I have not seen a bicyclist since.
Oh, good.
Now, I can't say the same about the vehicles. Even with the boat trailer crossing, blocking the circular driveway, I still have people pulling in with pickup trucks and campers and RVs and boats and then realizing that the driveway is blocked in front of them.
Oh, man.
You need to. You're going to have to invest in a giant sign that says, attention, this is not the entrance to the park. This is a private driveway. The park is that way. You know,
I'll just whatever. So that's the frustration.
You have to spend money to do that kind of thing.
I know.
I'm already having to spend money because they're actually wearing ruts in my driveway. I'm going to have to gravel it. Prematurely. I'm going to have to gravel it. You know, it's one thing if I'm just using it with my wife, but.
And it's even worse if they got to turn it back up and turn around and everything.
Sure. And we're not talking light vehicles either.
Yeah.
And there's an incline coming out of my driveway, so they're spinning their tires, getting back on the interstate, or not the interstate, but the highway.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Anyhow, so that's that fun.
Fun time.
Otherwise, the weather was great for my mom and mother-in-law, and lots of time to visit, and I'm sure I'm missing stuff, but I've been working in between, so I've been getting up like 5 in the morning and doing all my international calls, and that's about like done with
me. Oh, you're breaking up again.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can fill us. Well, maybe you can fill us in on that. Last week, you were down at the Brickside Brewery doing the show because, you had grid problems, which you told us about last week. And I see dots on his picture right now in Skype.
Yeah, I do too.
So I don't know whether he can even hear us right now. There he is. Hello? He's back.
Hello. Everybody on mine is yellow.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yellow. If we don't change our status for a while, that means that we're busy.
Oh. Since you're away. That's right.
Yeah, you had flashing white dots in your icon.
Yeah. Yeah, it just meant I was out there.
So did you hear what I said? Could you hear us when you were out there, or did we cut out too?
No, this one was a complete disconnect.
So last week you were talking about, you were down at the Brickside Brewery with joining us because of the outage due to a lightning storm. Has that been all solved and fixed?
Well, as you can hear, mostly. Not all. it wasn't just me. It was a good part of the 2-county area. They ran out of parts. Mm. So I'm still on a piece together on my 900 megahertz link. It's a piece of equipment that's pieced together.
Oh, okay. But
everything else I think is fairly stable, mostly.
Well, I'm surprised you're getting as good as you're getting with if you're still on the makeshift Tupperware box.
No, I've graduated from the RV box.
But, oh, okay.
But I'm not up to full power yet.
Okay.
I'm still the dilithium crystals has not come in yet. I'm still on impulse power.
Good one.
I just thought of another tech story that we need to talk about, Michael, because it affected both of us. And last week we reported that there was an outage at the Apple Dev Center for all the developers of Apple products, and it went out the Thursday before last, and it stayed out. When was the first time? I think it was yesterday,
Friday.
That
yeah, Apple actually admitted that they had been hacked.
Yes, they had been hacked, but they think because they encrypt everything that everybody's safe. But they didn't like what was going on, so they were just rebuilding the entire system from scratch. And that's why they were down for just a little over a week.
Well, it's only partially back up.
Right. But the parts we're interested in are back up, so we need to get together.
Right. We got to get that going.
Yeah. But
I got to be running. I'm going to...
Okay, Barty. Good
all
talking.
Right, that time.
Wait, do you have any?
Great talking to all of you, Mike. I'm glad you made it back from the hospital, okay, and that the trip was all right. Yep. Sorry about all the trespassers, but it sounds like you're dealing with that in a rather rational manner. So good luck with that to you.
Yeah.
So talk to you all later, guys.
Okay. Hey, Barty. You got any more trips coming up or?
Yes, I do. I'll be in town this next week, but the following week I should be going to St. Louis.
Okay.
And then I'll be going back to California in a month or so. Okay. And I've also got a trip to Korea coming up.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, well, California is fun. I'm not quite sure about Korea, but it'll sure get me a lot of miles with United. So I'm looking forward to that, if nothing else.
Yeah. Actually, Korea is pretty nice now. When I visited it in the 80s, it wasn't that great.
No,
but
it's still the land of a thousand smells.
Yeah.
Not quite right. People in the military will understand those.
All that
those
kimchi.
That will probably be like what?
All that kimchi and tied up dogs next to the hell.
Yeah.
That aren't pets.
So I'll catch you guys all later.
All right. We'll see you, Barty.
All right.
Take it easy.
Anyway. So Michael, had you heard anything else? Because you probably stay in tune with the Apple dev stuff more than I do.
Only that some of the developers were getting password reset requests that they weren't requesting.
Hmm.
So, but I think that's because the emails themselves, email addresses weren't encrypted, just the personal data.
Oh, okay. So you think somebody was trying to hack and
well, get if you
passwords.
Got the you know if you got your email address, that's you know especially anybody in the dev site, that's going to be their Apple ID.
Right.
So then they're trying to get the. The rest of the account.
Yeah. Wow. That's that was very strange, and so I'm glad to see most of it back up again, and they're still working on the rest of it. You know, it was strange though because I guess people could still. I was still getting a lot of app updates even throughout the week that it was down. So I guess there was a way for people to get in there and. At least put out updates.
I really didn't have an update to do, so I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Other than they might have been ones that were already in the pipe.
Hmm. Yeah, that could be. And so they were just pumping them out. Because they all have to be reviewed before they go out, correct?
Yep, even the updates do, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's probably what it was. They were just pushing out the reviews. So... Wow, yeah. Other than that, man, it was a slow week for I heard, oh, God, now where was it? Aereo is going to be going in somewhere else. Where was it? Arizona?
Well, it's not Copper Harbor.
I can tell you where it's not going to be.
Well, the problem is, Michael, you don't have any local stations in Copper Harbor, do you?
Just Radio Uper.
That's something else.
Hey, it's Michael at Virtual Uper Studios. How is it going there? Good morning, Copper Harbor.
That would be fun, though. That really would be fun.
Well, they still want to do that.
Yeah.
We still want to do our version of K-Bear. Yeah. Speaking of that, I did get one more 10-minute ramble cast out, and I see a couple more are joining the movement. I still haven't seen the latest issue of the Minute Late Night QRM out yet.
Yeah, I know.
Bob's talking about doing a 10-minute ramble ring or something, web ring.
Yeah, I heard that on his latest one. And I listened to your latest one, too.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I was surprised at how well the audio came over the outboard.
Yeah, it came out good. I was thinking about doing one. An idea dawned, came across me, but I don't think it would sound very good. I was thinking about calling one Dear John. And I would just, it would be, you know, a 10-minute podcast from my tractor.
Yeah. I like it.
But I think you'd be hearing mostly tractor.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about calling one just make it like a sub page to Late Night QRM and call it Late Night QRP. But
I like that.
So, you know. So I might do that, because that way I don't have to set up an entire website or anything. I could just make it like latenightqrm.com/latenightqrp if you want to, and just have it be, you know, a feed. So, but I have to sit down and actually do one.
Yeah,
not like you're busy somewhere.
So we'll see. So Josh, what's new in the Gate City? Other than finding dead women wrapped up in shower curtains.
Yeah, there's a bunch of murders that have been happening in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a bunch in the last three days. Well, not in the last 3 days, but last week. It was a three-day stretch where just bodies dropping all over the place.
And this used to be rated, Nashville was, at one time when we first moved up here, was rated the number safest city and number one town to live in the all of the United States.
Yeah, all times have changed. But aside from that, let's see what's going on. Well, that about sums it up. No, there's nothing going on really here in town.
Well, you and your lovely bride did something last night that sounded interesting.
Oh, yes, we took a dinner cruise on the Mount Washington cruise on Lake Winnipesaukee. And that was really, really nice. It was an absolutely fantastic time. It's a dinner cruise with a nightclub on the lower deck. We were there with a wedding party for the wedding reception of a couple, and great folks. And I tell you what, it was a really, really, really nice time to be able to cruise out. It was it leaves port at 7 o'clock. It pulls away from the dock and comes back in at 10 at night.
Wow.
Sunset dinner cruise. Well, I guess they call it the champagne cruise. So it was really nice.
Wow.
That's something I would highly recommend.
Yeah, and that's up in the lakes region of New Hampshire.
Yep, Lake Winnipesaukee is right at Weirs Beach or Laconia, New Hampshire, which I'm sure everybody at one point in time or another has heard of Laconia.
Oh, the old man in the mountain. Well, that was in Franconia, isn't it?
That's Franconia Notch. Yeah. Right. Yeah, Franconia. This is Laconia, where the Laconia Bike Week.
Oh, yes, that's true, yes.
All right, everybody except Barry has heard of Laconia.
Yeah, except me. I remember one of the first times we came up to New England for vacation, and, you know, we didn't plan on anything. We just came up and, you know, decided we wanted to go to different places, and we picked the same week as Bike Week to come up.
That's sucky.
So
there's something like 500,000 motorcyclists all around the Laconia area for that entire week.
Yeah, and we didn't know anything about it, you know. But they said, "Oh yeah, are you up here for the Bike Week?" It's like, no, we didn't know there was a Bike Week up here. But yeah, that's a big. big deal here in New Hampshire.
It's a big deal on the whole motorcycle community, realistically. I mean, a lot of folks who are avid motorcyclists will travel from all over the world. Laconia is the oldest bike rally in the country.
Really?
Yes. Then you have, which pulls a very close second, which is Sturgis, which is in North Dakota. North Dakota or South Dakota? South Dakota, Badlands, South Dakota.
Okay.
And which, you know, there again, too, but, you know, without it, even still not being bike week, a lot of motorcyclists. It's a great day. It's the only really great day of, you know, here on the weekend. Well, weekend's only 2 days, but it was perfect weather. Mm-hmm. And, boy, was it just nice. It was just a really, really, really nice time to, you know to go on a dinner cruise, a sunset dinner cruise, you know, with the missus. It was, man, I had a nice time. Really, really nice time.
That's cool. That's very neat. And that's a very pretty area of...
it's gorgeous. I got a lot of pictures, of which, using my Android, my old Android HTC Incredible, and it took some great pictures. It's a shame the thing sucks for trying to get them off of it. But, I did a dumb, and I forgot to change the settings to have all pictures saved in the memory card.
Oh,
okay. And so subsequently it saved them to all internal memory, and it doesn't have a feature where you can transfer them from phone's internal RAM to the SD card.
Oh, geez.
So the only way I was able to get the pictures off is I did the same thing I did for our brew, our beer brewing pictures, is I had to email them in chunks.
You can't, there's no connection to Dropbox or anything like that?
I don't think I downloaded Dropbox to this phone. One time I did, but I have reset it since then. So, but instead I went ahead and just emailed them all to you. And I emailed all the pictures to my wife's email account. So it was nice. It was a really, really good time. Let's see. Now, like everybody else, gearing up for the next work week. Yippee skippy.
Yeah, but it's a short week this week.
Oh, really? Only for some of us.
Yeah. Well, it's a 4-day week for me. It's all Friday week, so that's good.
I wouldn't know.
So, you know, I'll think about you on Friday.
No, I'm sure you do.
I'm sure I'll remind you on Thursday when
you usually love to remind me on Thursday. Oh, that was a killer Friday, a virtual Friday.
Yeah. On our off Friday weeks, we call Thursday virtual Friday. So
yeah, then you next to say, man, I'm really looking forward to just being able to sleep in a little bit tomorrow, and it's Friday morning, and I look forward to that email or to that phone call. I really do.
You know what I like? I like when you forget that it's a 4-day week for me, and you call me on the way home from work, and you go, "Are we there yet?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I've been here all day." And you,
yeah, I can hear the ice hit the side of his glass and the mower in the background.
I'm enjoying it while we can, because there are a lot of companies are moving away from that schedule, and I'm hoping they don't decide to do that, because that's one of the few things our company does that I really like.
Well, on if I may jump on your bandwagon, but on the other side of the wagon,
yeah,
a lot of companies are actually going to it.
Really?
Because of Obamacare. They're cutting people back from 40 hours to 32.
Oh, well, that's not a 980 work schedule, though. That's an 880 work schedule.
Well, the point being, because they can't afford to offer health insurance. So they say, all right, you're going to go on government insurance. Everybody works a 4-day work week.
Oh, geez.
So a lot of people are finding themselves with a 3-day weekends, but you're also finding yourself with a 32-hour paycheck.
Yes. Yeah, that would hurt a little bit, but... And that could be. I mean, I think that's kind of, I don't want to say it's a standard European schedule, because I know Germany doesn't do it that. Germany works a normal week.
Right, but they also go on holiday for a month just because it's holiday.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I think. Give the workers an opportunity to decompress.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't do that. We got a thing right now at... work, they call it the 400 club. We've got several members. our vacation, you can only accumulate or accrue 400 hours. And after that, they just don't give it to you. You lose it. Mm-hmm. And so we got quite a few people that are right up at the 400-hour level. So they're busy taking days here and there just to keep it under 400, because you don't want to give up your vacation. You don't want to give
it away. It's like giving away free money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And I told them, I said, look, you know what I do with mine is I keep it at about 6 weeks. You know, 400 hours is basically 10 weeks.
Right.
And I keep mine at about 6 weeks. You know, you got to think about it like, charging or managing a battery, you know? You don't want it to go all the way down to zero, but you don't want to charge it all the way up at the top. You want to keep it, you know, about 60%, you know?
Right. That's a good analogy.
60-70%, you know?
That's a good analogy.
So that's what I do. And that's why I, you know, in the wintertime, it's like weatherman's forecast, a couple flakes of snow. I'm staying home. Of course, Michael can't do that because if he did that. He'd never go anywhere for about 8 months.
Yeah, it's about 8 months out of the year.
has the first snowstorm hit up there yet?
No, but we had a friend of mine got married on Friday afternoon, and
it snowed.
No, but it was the reception at 6 o'clock. The temperature started at 46 degrees and went down from there, and it was an outdoor reception.
Holy crap! In the tail end of July.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it got down in the low 40s, upper 30s by the end of the night.
Wow. I mean, we got down, I guess it was the low 50s. We didn't quite make it into the 40s. We almost made it into the 40s the other night. But we're back to kind of like a normal New England summer right now.
80s.
Yeah, well, 80s and 70s out here. Upper 70s.
Right.
So, about 90 in Nashua and, 72 out here in God's country.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for that again. God, why do I call you? That's right, because you're one of my best friends and I'm stupid. And I'm like a glutton for punishment.
I'm just trying to convince you that you need to move back out here.
You don't have to convince me. Trust me. The minute I got the dough to do it, it's done.
We miss you out here, Josh.
Yeah, I miss being there. I mean, I'm there like every other weekend. I'm either driving up to see you or driving up to see other friends, and I keep saying to myself, boy, I'm noticing a trend. Any free time I can, I leave this area where home is and go west and north.
Well, you missed yesterday was the River Fest.
Oh, yeah?
In downtown. That's actually growing. It's getting bigger and bigger each year. But I think it's poorly named because it shouldn't be called the River Fest, because right in the middle of town where they have it is where the dam is. It's not really a flowing river. They've got a dam there. So I think they should rename it the Jaffrey Dam Fest.
The Dam Fest.
Yeah. Are you coming to the Dam Fest? Really, I think it should be renamed. Yeah, we drove through it. We didn't get to stop. Last year we went to it, and this year, actually, Anne-Marie had to go out and work on yesterday because they're opening a new Dollar General store. And, the company she works for, she's a sales rep, and she had to go in and chat with them and see if things were being set up properly and whatnot. So, and that's coming, that's opening, I think, Thursday, August 1st. So I guess it's Thursday, yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah. I've never been in a Dollar General store.
Neither have I.
So this will be my first one. I think I'll wait until the crowds, you know, the expected crowds for the new Dollar General store.
Oh, they're going to be lining up around the block like for a Star Wars opening?
Or buying a iPhone or something.
I'm thinking probably not.
Yeah, okay. Probably not.
I'm just guessing, though.
So I guess, did we do the update on the Brew 3? I know we talked about it. I think it was pre-show we were talking about.
That was pre-show on Brew 3.
I haven't heard it since I've checked in. So.
Okay. Well,
you tell.
After talking to the brewmasters at work, I decided that the thing to do, and they're all doing and getting better results, is to do a rack it up into a second fermentation bucket. But instead of going with a bucket this time, I got a carboy. Now, granted, it's a plastic one because, I don't trust myself around glass. And not so much while it's sitting there, but when I go to clean it, I know that it would probably only last one brewing session, and that carboy would probably be broken. Plus, they're heavy. So I got the plastic carboy, and I did the transfer last night. And so Anne-Marie kind of nicknamed this. I don't know how we got talking about it, but then we were looking at pictures of it sitting on the new, you know, the propane stove, and it was down low enough, and we were saying something like, "Oh, that's low enough for a Sammy to drool into." So I nicknamed the brew the Dog Drool Brew.
Dog Drool Brew. That's good. It's got a ring to it.
So. It's doing well. I put it in the, it's in its secondary fermentation period, and I threw in the dry hops, and I was going to use the bags, and the guy, when I stopped to buy the carboy in Keene yesterday, the guy convinced me, he goes, yeah, you probably don't need to use the bags. As a matter of fact, he says it's better not to, because the more the beer can get around the hops, the better smell and flavor you'll get. So he said,
okay,
just throw it in. He goes, you throw it in and, you know, you leave it in there for five to 7 days, and by that time it'll all settle down to the bottom anyway. And right. I think a lot of it already has settled down. But it's interesting to see that there is still a slight bit of bubbling going on the top. Now, you know, you're not seeing it out of the airlock, but because the carboy is clear, I can see, you know, the top bubbling ever so slightly, so I'm looking forward to it. So next weekend should be the weekend to bottle.
Nice.
So it'll be bottling weekend next weekend.
I may bring a helper with me.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, you got your helper.
Yeah.
That week, yeah, that'd be cool. So, and so we'll do that and. And then we let it sit in the bottles for about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes, and count the minutes.
It's, you know, beer brewing, it's a hurry up and wait scenario. Yep. You know, you're real busy doing different steps, and then you just sit and wait. Yep. So I think that's all the news I've got. Anybody else got anything else? We can maybe shorten this up, instead of going 2 hours like we have been in the past. We can shorten these things up a little bit and get back to around an hour or so, which is, I think, long enough to hear us, you know.
Yeah, well, talk. It's I've only been here a little bit over an hour, sorry about that, but it is nice to be back in Uber Studios, though, as much as it was fun to do it for live from the Brickside Brewery. By the way, I don't know if you get it out east, but there is a I think it's from Missoula, Montana. There's a beer called Moose Drool.
Really?
Yeah. And one of the things that I really like about it is one of the saying for the brewing company is, "We make water fun."
That's a great motto there.
Yeah, it is.
You make water fun. See? So I wasn't even original Dog Drool Brew.
No,
although I like that.
They have Moose Drool. I like Dog Drool. You know. Dog Drool. Big picture of Sammy on the label.
Yeah, there you go.
Endorsed by Sammy.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
What's your secret ingredient, Dog Drool?
Dog Drool. Sammy drools on the lid before we cap it.
It's part of the fermentation process. You got to kick it off with something.
Don't worry. He only drools into the boiling pot. So.
Exactly. It boils off. But it does. We have add that secret little twist, that flavor crystal. Depending upon what he scoffed off a dinner plate, just before he drilled into the pot.
Yeah.
Could be Cheerios. Could be scrambled eggs.
Could be ketchup.
All righty. We just went down an avenue I wasn't looking forward to.
All right. With that note, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Christy Grace and her song West Coast Girl. It's a nice jazz piece. And as we do every week, we'd like to say thanks to all those people, all the people out in the military, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thanks for what you do. We're thinking about you. And you guys that are OCONUS, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. And we'll keep the fires burning for you. So, with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, waiting for the John Deere to get here, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And finally back in Virtual Uper Studios, I'm Michael. Yeah, have a good week. Whatever. Ah, I lost my impromptu-ness there.
And you threw my timing off again, too, because you didn't say.
I know.
I have to get used to that.
From the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
I'm Michael, the virtual Uper.
No, you're not. You're Barry J.
No. Oh, that's... Anyway, okay. Thanks, everybody. 102 is in the can. I know that's somebody else says that, but 103 is next week. We'll see you then. Here is Christy Grace.
Long ago in Thunder Bay, I used to watch my daddy play. He sang. Westward all alone, searching for my home. I became a West Coast girl. There's nothing like it in the world. Love to be a West Coast girl, a West Coast girl. Married me, you rugged saint. Felt faint. Climbed the mountains, swam the sea, raised a musical family.
Samson, speak. Good boy.